You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Coming up on the SBS On The Money podcast, headline inflation rises, gold and silver surges, and is the US share market too pricey? All of that and more next. Everyone, welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Wednesday, the 24th of September 2025. It's a day where the Australian share market fell by 0.9% on the S&P ASX 200. We'll have the details with Francesco Destrades from Ord Minnett in a few moments. But first to inflation, where the monthly CPI indicator rose to 3% in August to be at the very top of the RBA's 2 to 3% target band. Housing, food, especially eggs, coffee and tea, along with alcohol, were the biggest contributors. And there was a near 25% increase in annual electricity prices as state government rebates were used up. Electricity, though, for the month was down 5.9%. However, the RBA prefers the underlying measure of inflation, which fell to 2.6% because it strips out one-off volatile price moves for a more consistent view of inflation. So what does it say about the inflationary environment and for interest rates? For that and more, I spoke with Paul Bloxham, the chief economist at HSBC. So, Paul, headline inflation is up, but underlying inflation is down. So what's the true state of the inflationary environment?
Well, it's actually quite tricky because this is a partial indicator. It's not the full CPI. We don't get that until later next month. So it's just a partial reading. And you are right. It is quite choppy. The headline measure rose to 3%, but the main thing that the RBA focuses on, the trim mean measure of inflation, edged a little lower, back down to 2.6%. The story doesn't stop there because there's some other measures that are actually quite choppy in today's figures as well. I think the main upshot, though, is inflation. I think the RBA is going to sort of discount this measure quite a bit anyway because it's not a complete measure, and they're not going to get too worried that inflation's picking up much. They think they'll see inflation still as pretty comfortably in their target band.
So when you look through these numbers today, what kinds of things are contributing to price rises at the moment? Because electricity, that's a big factor, right?
Electricity's been a big factor, but actually in today's numbers, it fell for the nation because there were some Commonwealth grants that came into place that had a big effect in New South Wales and ACT in the figures, and saw electricity prices actually come down in the month in today's figures. So what the electricity numbers have been doing is bouncing around a lot, really, because there's been lots of different subsidies and they've been dropping in and dropping out of the figures for the last little while. Across the rest of the categories, I think one of the things to look at is that rents have continued to edge lower in a year-on-year sense, which is a positive for some downward pressure on inflation. But the broad story is that main measure the RBA focuses on, the trim mean, edged lower to 2.6, and it's still in the RBA's target band.
Okay, so with that in context, right, what will it mean for the RBA's upcoming rate meeting and into the end of the year? What will it be thinking?
Well, I don't think the RBA is going to do anything next week. I think they're going to be firmly on hold. You know, we've got an economy where growth is in an upswing. The GDP figure showed us where there's a pickup in the consumer. Inflation is, as we see today, in the target band on the core measure that the RBA focuses on. And the unemployment rate is steady and quite low. We're at about full employment. So there's really no reason for the RBA to take any action next week at all. And I think that's what we're going to get. We're going to get the RBA on hold and having a fairly balanced view about the risks going forward. I think, though, you know, the next move is probably still more likely to be down for the RBA. And we've got the RBA getting over the line for delivering another cut at the November meeting. The risk is that whether that arrives or not will depend a bit more on what the overall inflation print looks like at the end of November. But we think the RBA will likely cut in November rather than next week. We think next week they're on hold.
Paul Bloxham there, the chief economist at HSBC. And there are risks because late this afternoon, economists at NAB now say that the RBA is done with cutting rates for now, reversing its previous call of two more reductions to be on hold now until May. They say the detail in today's data shows market services inflation. So that's things like restaurant, insurance and education prices is significantly hotter than expected. Let's take a closer look now at how the market reacted. The S&P ASX 200 down 0.9% today to 8,764. Nine of 11 sectors were lower. The the worst performing sectors, financial, healthcare and consumer discretionary. The two sectors that did well, utilities and energy. And of the best and worst performing stocks, the best stocks, DroneShield, up around 6%, followed by Pilbara Minerals, which added 5%. The worst performer included Telix Pharmaceuticals, down 5.6%, and Atlas Arteria, down by 5.5%. For more on the day's market action, I spoke with Francesco Destratis, an investment advisor at Ord Minnett. Francesco, the ASX off by around 1% today. Why, and how much of it has to do with the US?
Well, I suppose you can normally factor in about two-thirds of the US direction on our market. And, yeah, we saw the US come off a bit overnight. And then the remainder of the factors are fairly local. You know, you've got some sector rotation going on, you know, some dividend adjustments. So, you know, fund managers are chasing dividends around the marketplace. And some positioning ahead of inflation figures that came out this afternoon. In the US, you know, the Fed chair, Jerome Powell, you know, his message was pretty scary for the markets, in that the US equity markets are getting close to fairly fully valued. I wouldn't disagree with him. I think US markets are trading, well, the S&P 500 is trading on about 22, 23 times earnings. I'd say it's overvalued, not expensive, but overvalued. And likewise, here in Australia, we're on about 18 times earnings. So, it's overvalued, but not expensive. Looking more locally, though, you know, you've got the financial sector coming off, the resources sector coming off. And on the flip side, you've got some positives there with the energy sector, with the oil price overnight up about 2%.
You mentioned inflation there. I want to touch on that in a few moments. But what I found interesting today is that gold price continued to hit records, silver as well at a 14-year high. And in fact, silver futures are now 50% higher this year. That's up more than gold. Just curious to get your take.
Yeah, look, gold has been very strong for probably six to 12 months. And you sort of put that towards things like geopolitical issues going on around the world. So turmoil always creates a lot more demand for gold as a haven of safety. Inflation, US dollar weakness, that all adds to, you know, the driving of gold price. And then you add on top of that a bit of speculation, and then you've got the jewellery side of demand side of things as well, which tends to pick up at certain times of the year, particularly with the Indian wedding season. That's all gone into driving the gold price. Silver tends to follow, but I think we'll find that, you know, there's a mix of things that are happening in the silver market. One is a monetary hedge. The other is more industrial side of things. So on the monetary side of things, you know, the gold silver price ratio is probably at its historical high, which means silver is more undervalued than gold at the moment. So that'll put a bit of momentum from the monetary side of things into the silver price. And then you throw in there that, you know, demand from things like solar and electric vehicles, that pushes the demand side of things up a bit. And because silver's not really a big focus on the supply side, it takes a little bit longer for the supply side to catch up. So I think we'll probably see a little bit more strength in silver. Obviously, on the gold side of things, gold miners may pick up production when gold prices are higher, and that sort of balances that supply and demand dynamic out a bit.
Okay, you mentioned inflation earlier. Those numbers came in a bit stronger than expected. I went into detail with it with Paul Bloxham from HSBC before I spoke to you. But does it reduce the chances of an interest rate cut here next week? What's the market thinking?
Yeah, well, I think we saw that, with the market after the announcement. I think, if we'll take a step back, you know, headline rate 3%, market was expecting 2.8. The Reserve Bank goes off the trim mean, and that was still in the range of 2.6%. So, but getting closer back up to the top end of that range. So, we were expecting a rate cut next week with the September 30 meeting. We'll probably push that back to November now. So I think, you know, the Reserve Bank might sort of reassess those numbers again going towards the end of the year. So we might see the interest rates on hold. The big surprise, or I don't know if it's a surprise for some, but the big mover there was electricity prices up nearly 25%. I think the Reserve Bank will be keeping a real sharp eye on that one.
Finally, what are you telling your clients right now, and where do you see the opportunities for investors?
Yeah, look, I think it's probably more of a selective opportunities time in the marketplace. We've gone through reporting season. Those that have had good results, the share prices have reflected in that, and they're given their forward statements. So I think the market's already factored a lot of that in. At the moment, as I mentioned earlier, I think our market is probably overvalued. So I'm looking at things that I think are in portfolios that we're overweight and that are expensive and start to trim those down. Or if attitude towards them is quite negative, then we're removing from portfolios. It's hard to find opportunities, but there are opportunities out there in the marketplace. Either retain cash and look for opportunity as the market treat certain stocks harshly and they're seen as opportunities. I think copper's still a good theme, and caps and copper's a good investment in that area. And look, you know, I'm looking for stocks that are undervalued or turnaround stories. And one I think is a really good turnaround story is AMP. It's been in the closet or in the bad books for quite some years now. And I think they're starting to turn that business around.
Francesco De Stratis there from Ord Minnett, and he wraps up the podcast for this Wednesday. Don't forget, if you enjoy it, to give it a rating or review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, to click subscribe. And if you want to follow me on social media, you can find me at Business Ricardo. See you tomorrow.
This SBS on the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only and should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and it does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
This SBS on the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. Content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.